CliffCentral.com.
What is a Bendix drive?
Does anybody know?
There's that chick from that Top Billing thing who says, and I fixed a carburetor and axles and a Bendix drive.
I don't know, but I'm sure it gets your hands dirty.
Oh, good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Yes, the weekend is finally here. It is the weekend, baby. Oh, everybody loves the weekend. All right, let's get into who's doing what. And by the way, you can call us 0861-555-189. I said before, I'll say it again, if you've got something to say, if you've got something on your mind, that comes first. Everything else gets moved into another part of the show. So that's how we work it. You can call in the middle of news, you can call in the middle of sport, you can call in the middle of a crisis, and we'll put you on. That's how we do it. That's 0861-555-189. Good morning, Ben Karpinski.
Hello, Gareth.
How are you today?
Slight aching back.
Why? What happened to you?
I'm such a mess, and it's just becoming overly frustrating now. I don't know. You know, like a car loses wheel alignment?
You used to be the fit one here.
I know.
What happened to you?
Yeah, well, so that's not going so well, but I'm seeing my massage therapist today, which in itself, I feel like I lose a bit of innocence every time I go there.
Why?
Well, you basically strip down to your underwear, and he greases you up and just lays into you, which I know sounds a bit risque, but you get value for money, and you definitely come out of there feeling good. So whether you've got a sore knee or a sore wrist, you get the exact same treatment.
That sounds like a gay porno.
Does a bit. It does a bit. And
Sony, hi, massage therapist Sven. I have a sore knee and a sore anus.
Well, look, I don't think my anus is anything to come into this, hopefully. But yeah, you go in there and he literally just lays into you like a bear. And it's a full-on 40 minutes and it's like a mental and physical experience.
Is it painful?
Well, it's about getting certain pressure points going and it's about stimulating various areas as far as getting circulation back. And there's times where, I mean, like, my pain threshold is activated by laughter. So, well, shown by laughter.
All right. So you start laughing when you're in pain.
I laugh for like half an hour because this guy is just prodding and probing. And it gets, it's quite blush-worthy. But, you know, the last time that happened to me about 7 months ago, where I felt like I was a torn chassis. I walked out of there. I hobbled in. I walked out.
Okay, so it works.
No, this guy's solid gold. Like, okay. I recommend it to anyone who's got any aches and pains.
Is he from Outer Mongolia?
No, he's a pretty normal-looking white guy with a ponytail.
Oh, he's got a ponytail.
Like, strongly built, thick set, big hands. He's the kind of guy that, like, he could probably beat you up in, like, 3 seconds by just touching a power, like a certain part of your body.
Oh, you mean like he could do the five-finger heart-exploding punch that they used on Kill Bill?
Put it this way, he's like a more charismatic, nicer version of Steven Seagal.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. I got a picture in my head now, and it's kind of scary. Yes, Flex, good morning.
Ben, I want to know, do you ever get so relaxed that you forget it's a man, and then you get a stiffy, and then you realize it's a man, and then you don't know what to do with your stiffy?
Thanks for the question, Michael, but no, I don't. I'm pretty aware of my surroundings and reality at all given times in life. But tell us about the time this happened to you, because clearly it has.
No, I've never been for massage. I've always been afraid of the inevitable stiffy.
Basically, you don't go for massage because you're scared that a man's going to make you aroused.
Well, not a man, but say I went for massage and was a woman.
Michael, it's a safe space, so you can tell us.
And now I've got to turn around because she's massaging, let's say, my shoulders or something. And I now have to explain why her towel has risen.
No, the thing is, you never have to explain, because part of training for being a massage person is that
you learn to deal with that.
I mean, like, there is a chapter about boners.
I'd rather avoid it all in all.
Well, don't feel bad, Michael.
Promise you, there are lots of massage therapists all over that have not been traumatized by guys who can't help it but get hard.
Because next minute she thinks I'm implying that this is the ending I want, when it's not. Just so happened she touched me in the right spots.
No, well, I mean, look, a good massage, you should end up being touched in places that you don't normally touch yourself, like places you can't reach, like the smaller your back, for example, or, I don't know, the places you don't really pay much attention to, your thighs, you know?
Mm.
How often do you pay attention to that? So when you're getting a decent massage, there are a lot of people who do get involuntarily aroused. Mm. No biggie to the massage therapist. They really don't give a shit. They're not there for the... They're not trying to make things happen.
I mean, she's not going to follow you to your car and say, pivot.
No. Yeah, I had this tiny little Thai girl once give me a massage. She was like bending me over her leg and cracking my back and all kinds of like really hectic shit.
It's borderline
shit, right?
Vindictive, those type people.
It really is. And I mean, the last thing in my mind was getting turned on. And I can promise you now, she was not there for fun and games. She was there to earn her money and to fix whatever was wrong so that I could come back the next time and pay her again. That's all she's interested in.
I'd go if they invented massage bands, which basically go over your thighs like a piece of string. And if you got an erection, it holds it down.
Why didn't you invent that? Invented.
Michael, why don't you just...
But why would you be embarrassed?
Just get over it.
She doesn't care or he doesn't care. I can promise you, chances are the guy who's giving Ben a massage, he's straight. So he's not particularly interested in Ben being aroused anyway. If it happened, he would just carry on with the massage. And in your case, not everyone is into you. You know, it's like those...
It always comes back to Michael thinking everyone's into him.
No, well, look, I mean...
No, it's just an awkward situation.
Okay, no, I understand, Flex. I'm not knocking you. What I'm going to say is there are a lot of straight guys who feel like every gay guy in the world, who just because they're gay, is going to be into that straight guy. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And that's not true. Like, there are lots of gay guys in the world, and they'll say... Like, I've got gay friends who say to me, they don't understand what it is with straight men that they assume that just because... they're gay, this guy, that they're suddenly going to be turned on by every man. You're not turned on by every woman.
No.
Right, so similarly, massage therapists probably not turned on by any of us. They couldn't care less for Flax, Ben, or Gareth, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't give a shit. They want their money. They do this every day. Sometimes they have really ugly people in there. Sometimes they have very, very attractive people in there. Doesn't matter to them. They've got a job to do. It's like when we have a guest. You don't worry that if you invite those porn stars that were here the other day, that you suddenly can get an erection when you bring them in the studio, right?
Yeah.
So then the same goes for the massage therapist. The porn stars aren't walking around going, oh my God, when I get to the studio, this producer's definitely going to have a hard on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sort of.
Okay.
I mean, oil and touching, it's a bit different scenarios, but the concept's the same.
Yeah, I guess. Michael, look, I mean, we all go through different
stages. Do you often get, like, aroused and you have no control?
No.
So then you should really try a massage before you knock it.
No, I avoid it for the reason that I don't want to be embarrassed or get aroused, or I don't really enjoy people touching me with oil and,
you know,
next minute the massage therapist has, like, hair on the back of his hand and then that hair rubs you. No. There's too many scenarios that I just don't want to do it. Let me take this phone call.
Look, everything loves a trade-off, right? Okay, so you don't want to be touched by a man. Nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, you know what, I'd really like it if a man touched me today. No one says that. But if you've got a sore back or something like that happens to you, you need to sort it out, right? And if a man is capable of doing it, well, that's what you call a service.
Okay.
It's like, I don't want to go to the bank today, but hey, if I've got issues with money, I have to go to the bank. It's like, that's life.
Right. So you've got to be practical about these things.
Exactly.
Spoosie, so what's up?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Cool, dude. What's going on?
Listen, man, I'm just listening to you guys talking about massages, and I'm thinking, do you think that David Mashobo goes to that massage parlor to be massaged in all the other areas that he can't touch?
Well, he can't touch a lot of areas because he's, you know, he's a big man.
What's
the place called again? It's the Mbombela Spa of Guan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's the one. I think he actually goes there just to get them to touch that one area below his belly.
Yeah.
The part that he can't see because the belly hangs over it.
The part that he can't see,
he's got a giant gunt.
I think there's two little ladies who hold the gunt, and then the third lady comes in and holds the part he wants a massage on. It must be quite a sight.
Maybe he rests the gunt on top of their heads, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but...
Hang on, before you go, do you go for massages?
Well, I have a very good mistress who's my bedroom mate.
Oh.
I'm quite happy with what she does.
She's also your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that helps. Yeah, you see, that's cool.
That is very, very good. I'm very happy you can end that any way you want.
Yeah, you know what? The one argument really for me settling down with somebody would be if she was a really good back tickler or a masseuse. Right? Oh, that would yeah. be that would be the thing that would persuade me. Isn't
why
it bizarre?
Why don't you just find
I hope the ladies can hear that. Yeah. Susie's coming in.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I need.
Cool.
That's what's on my checklist. All right, thanks, dude. Thanks, Busisa. Bye. Oh, if you're wondering where Mubs is, by the way, she woke up late this morning, so she's on her way. But I mean, it happens. It's happened to me a couple of times. So I can't say that it doesn't happen to everybody else. Were you going to say?
I'm saying you might as well just try and court Thai ladies there because they can cook really well too.
Yeah.
If it's looking like a service transaction thing you're looking for here.
There we go. Maybe that's what I should do. Just go for the Russian bride. Donald Trump seems to have lucked out.
But they haven't got a history of massage and healing.
Hey, tell me that story about Melania Trump.
So I was looking at photos. So her son Barron, I don't know if it's her son or if it's Donald's son or they're adopted.
Yeah, the Barron's the son they've both got together.
So he had the day off for school.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided to take him for lunch.
Yeah.
But it was like a Secret Service detail of maybe like 30 Secret Service agents.
Mm-hmm.
They cornered off a section in a restaurant just out of the blue. And then they started taking that metal wand to everyone in the restaurant. Even if you were sitting there for your own lunch, you were now wanded because Melania Trump just entered the building.
Oh, right. Like a scanner, like one of those handheld scanning devices. Well, you know, he's the president-elect and this is his family, so they have to do it. But it's annoying, right?
First of all, the taxpayers paying for that, like, Secret Service detail mm-hmm. now that you want to travel down the block for a restaurant. And given the fact that, I think it was two nights ago, Donald, out of the blue, decided he felt like steaks and took an entire Secret Service detail of 12 vehicles down the road with his family to get steak. That cost like $30,000,
$40,000.
Yeah, he's at Trump Towers.
I agree, Michael. This is absolutely ridiculous because they don't own the public place, right? Yes, there's politics and all that kind of crap, but why must your life be inconvenienced because they want to go somewhere?
Yeah.
They don't now run the frickin' USA. Well, they do, but they don't.
Yeah, but I mean, even so, there's running it and owning it. There's a big difference. Like, I don't want to be... If I got a public place, that's my decision, so I'll do what I want there. To be then confronted about being a terrorist, just get lost.
You don't close Disney World because Barron hit puberty.
I just think if you're a politician, this is you know what, just prepare yourself for the inevitable. You have to go out and you have to watch over your back. This 30,000 bodyguards crap?
Mm.
No one's that special.
No, but there's this obsession in South Africa, too. A lot of our politicians have five or six bodyguards. You know, we had Dr. Tipo Motsepe, who's Cyril Ramaphosa's wife, so she's like our second lady, so to speak. She was at our launch on Wednesday night. She didn't have bodyguards. She didn't have anyone around her. Now, she's a very important person. She arrived and she left. She had one friend there with her who didn't look like she was a bodyguard or militarily trained or anything. And, you know, she got on with it. Now, I have such respect for that because I think the more security you have, the more attention you do draw to yourself,
exactly,
the more danger you are in. It's like these huge big trucks that carry cash around. They're targets because if you see a heavily armored vehicle, what do you think?
There's
something very valuable in there. I've got to stop that and steal if you're a criminal. If you mean to do harm to someone in an important position, the more bodyguards they have, the more important you know they are. I reckon if old ladies in Unos were driving around boots full of cash, no one would be any the wiser. Mm. That cash would be completely safe. They should hire old people from old age homes who don't have work, and they should say to them, just drive this here to there. Obviously, make sure that they're not demented. You know, make sure that they're able to figure things out. But it shouldn't be complicated. It really shouldn't.
Yeah, it's such a waste of money. Michael made a good point there. So every time you want to go for dinner, it's going to cost like $40,000. That's ridiculous. There's homeless people out there who, I mean, the politicians talk a good game about doing things for the poor and all this kind of shit.
And then they waste money.
A $30,000 dinner? No one's that important. I mean, there's Uber Eats now. There's all kinds of things. There's ways that food can be put in your mouth without you having to do anything that's going to cost a lot of money.
And also, you need to adjust your life to your job. Like me, my job is in the morning, so I wake up early. So I don't go partying late at night. Donald Trump, you're now the president of the United States. There's no more spring break trips to Cabo in the holidays. There's no more just going and eating out at restaurants with your family.
There's sacrifices involved in being president.
And that's one thing I think he's going to fail at. He will not sacrifice anything. He wants his cake and he wants to eat it.
Which, as Ben pointed out yesterday, is the point of cake. But yes, I hear you.
But it's not the point of a president.
No, you're right. Spot on.
Yeah, Michael, spot on.
All right, 24 after 6, since we're all in agreement, let's get to the news headlines next and Ben's sport, and we'll also check in with Anthea on the money front. All of that and more. All right, you know what this is called? It's called Bad Bado Baddest. It's Falls featuring DeVito. Yeah. All right, good morning. It's 28 after 6. Let's get into some news. Mabale's not here yet. She's on her way in, though, because she got got that curse that early morning radio throws around every now and then, where you sometimes wake up early, sometimes you wake up late. This morning, again, I was up at 4. No idea why.
Yeah, it's happened to me as well.
It's very odd.
You wake up, because you think there's more time sleep, and you go, oh, cool, it's all lots of time. It's like, no, it's half an hour.
Yeah,
so nothing really.
What a mess. So I will be bringing you the news. Are you ready for the news?
Yes.
All right. It is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Let me just remind you, while we're talking about Colcacchio Pizzeria, they have a brand new summer menu, which is exciting as all hell. It launched on the 8th of November. They've got some great new dishes on there. And if you're looking for the perfect venue to host your year-end functions, Colcacchio Pizzeria will be happy to accommodate you at any of their stores. To book at any of the stores, contact them directly. To find your nearest store, go to colcacchio.co.za. That's Colcacchio Pizzeria, colcacchio.co.za. C-O-L-C-A-C-C-H-I-O. Got it? Col, C-O-L-C-A-C-H-I-O. C-H-I-O.co.za. I couldn't break it down any easier than that, could I?
I don't think you could, Gareth.
No. All right, let's get into some news. All right, so the headlines this morning, there's still lots of talk about David Mashlobo. His woes continue as the DA plans to report him to the public protector. Just as if going to Mbombela Spa of Gwan isn't bad enough, he is now going to be taken to the public protector by the opposition party because he lied about his relationship with student leader Mkhebo Dlamini. You want to hear what that's all about?
Yeah.
Here's an actual clip of Minister David Mashlobo talking about Mkhebo Dlamini many weeks ago and then talking about him in Parliament. And the two points of view that he puts out there are completely different. So here is the minister. This is him talking about...
Mkhebo was brought and arrested by the police. And I happen to know Mkhebo. He has been to my house several times.
All right, so that's what he said at a press conference when Mkhebo Dlamini was arrested some time ago. Okay? So he has been to my house. You heard the words.
Yes, very clearly.
Here he is in Parliament. Listen to this.
The Honorable the Minister.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Firstly, the member speaks as a fact on a newspaper article, without actually putting facts to the nation. One, my answer, Madam Speaker, the meeting never took place. Mkhebo Dlamini has not been in my house.
Okay, so the same guy, one person, said Mkhebo Dlamini was in his house in one clip. Then later on in Parliament, he lies and says, he's never been in my house.
Yeah, there's no grey areas there. It was.
So if you lie in Parliament, that is actionable.
He has been to my house several times. Mkhebo Dlamini has not been in my house. He has been to my house several times.
So there, that which do you believe? So they've decided they're taking him to court, and they will report him to the state. To the public protector, the new public protector.
Yeah, but he lies about everything. We've also realized this. He said at the Mbombela Spa of Juan, he only gets manicures. And let's see his fingers.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
Let me see these fingers that you so well manicure 7 times a week.
Show us the fingers. That's exactly what the reaction should be. In fact, in Parliament, someone should ask him to do that, right?
Because then he'll be, like, really forced to then, you know, accept his metrosexuality as well in front of a house that was going to laugh at him.
They will laugh at him. That's exactly right, Ben. They'll laugh.
I've withdrawn my fingers.
All
as
right.
You can see my hand, I had, yeah.
All right. Then, of course, there is the story about the paramedics who saved a distressed dog. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't.
A prefab classroom collapsed, and they found the dog south of Johannesburg on Thursday after it was found underneath all of the debris in Eden Park. That was obviously as a result of all of those storms that we had. The dog was lying underneath the classroom, and they were informed that the animal had been beneath the building for at least 3 days. One of the paramedics was able to crawl beneath the building and slowly coax the animal out. Apparently, once the dog was brought to safety, paramedics assessed and treated her before she was handed over to Kibler Park vets for further treatment. Isn't that a nice story?
It is a very nice story, Gareth. Well chosen and well delivered.
We don't always have good news in the mornings, but I thought it's Friday. We need to have some of those. The Chief Justice is waiting to hear from the President on the state capture inquiry. Of course, the Public Protector's report was handed to the Chief Justice, so here's the latest on that. Mogoeng will only get involved in a Judicial Commission of Inquiry into state capture if President Jacob Zuma asks him to do so. In a carefully worded statement from his office, he said he does not have a constitutional obligation to initiate the process of appointing a Judicial Commission of Inquiry. No remedial action has been taken against the Chief Justice. He is thus not obliged to initiate the process of appointing the Judicial Commission of Inquiry. So we will have to wait to see what happens there. The Chief Justice's office said the President can either decide to comply with the remedial action as set out by Madonsela or challenge it on review. Those are his two points of view, his options, as far as the President's concerned. So the President can make one of those decisions, but he has to make a decision. Okay? What else do you want to know?
Well, Gareth, what's happening in America?
Okay, let me give you a quick snapshot of America. Donald Trump just claimed that he is the guy who deserves the credit for keeping the Ford plant in America rather than letting it move to Mexico, when it appears that was something that was going to happen anyway, with or without Donald Trump's say-so. So a lot of people are a little bit annoyed about that. But in other news that's going on to do with America, a lot of people are very concerned that Trump keeps appointing people who nobody really likes, who nobody can seem to agree on. He's also lauded the Electoral College, you know, that's the college that obviously won him the election, as opposed to the popular vote. He said it is a pretty smart way to elect a president after all. By the time all the votes were counted, Democrat Hillary Clinton will have won the popular vote by more than 1 million people, with big leads in big blue states. Democrats have used Clinton's vote lead to downplay any mandate that Trump might claim. Trump has shot back on Twitter saying that he would have campaigned differently if the winner were decided by popular vote, and he has 290 Electoral College votes as opposed to Clinton's 232, with Michigan still undecided, even at this stage.
How is it undecided? That election turned around in less than a day, so what have they been doing in Michigan?
Well, they're counting and recounting and counting again.
Well, they're just trying to keep counting until Hillary wins.
Maybe Michigan can't count.
It's also that.
It's the same problem that potentially we have whenever big... whenever big numbers come up on this show. And by big numbers, I mean 11.
I heard there's lots of fighting with Trump and even his own people. So, as a president, you have a press detail. And strictly for the first, like, few weeks or until you inaugurated, something like that, they have to follow you everywhere you go and document and report on it. And he lied to them within, like, the first week of having a press detail. Relates to the steakhouse incident. So he was at Trump Towers and he told his press detail, guys, you can go home. It's late. I'm just going to stay at Trump Towers. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to go to bed. As soon as they all left, he phoned his family and he took a trip down the road to go get steak. And that apparently you're not allowed to do. You have to go with your press detail as president wherever you go. He broke the rules.
Yeah, you see, this is going to happen. And as you said, this is going to be the place where Trump fails. He's not going to know what to do because he's never followed anyone's rules.
And he also has no political background and what past presidents do and stuff like that.
Yeah. Can we take a bet like when he's going to say, you know what, guys, screw it. Give it to Hillary after all.
I bet you he can't name every single president of the United States of America.
Of course he can't.
Of course not. Most people can't. But the thing is, he's going to eventually just say, you know what, Mike Pence, it's all yours. You run this thing.
It's too much of a schlep.
It's just annoying. It's terribly low energy. It's tedious.
Very low energy.
Too much admin.
Right.
And Mexicans aren't actually that bad. So he'll just say, like, I'm done with this.
I don't know that he really cares about doing the actual boring day-to-day work of being president. Donald Trump is all about marketing and branding and me.
Yeah, he's not about market research, and that's what presidents are. So when he gets given these security reports, he's just going to say, who are the bad guys? He's not going to read about positions.
Who are we going to bomb?
Yeah, it's just going to be, okay, but who's the bad guys? Like an 80s movie.
Huh. Let's bomb these guys. All right, and then I see that the Nyanga Rape 7, that's men between the ages of 18 and 27 of them, who are expected in court today in connection with the rape of a 13-year-old girl in Nyanga. I wonder where the political parties are. Yeah. Are they going to be protesting outside that court trying to score political points against a racist? Oh, no, of course not, because this is a real issue, a real social issue. Politicians have no idea of what conscience is.
Yeah. Is Musi Mamani going to get some rocks for these people as well?
No, he won't. And all of these stupid leaders won't be anywhere to be found near the Nyanga court today. What a sad world we live in, where that kind of thing, where a 13-year-old girl being raped by seven men between the ages of 18 and 20 gets less press than two dumb farmers who push a guy into a coffin. Where ostensibly, as far as I can tell, no one was murdered and no one was raped.
No, physically they're okay.
But everyone's so outraged by a coffin incident by two dumb dickhead racists. Instead of being as outraged. It's the least you could do. If I don't hear the same amount of outrage from all those fucking activists on Twitter about this, which is an absolutely disgraceful and upsetting thing. This is something that should rock the core of any moral human being.
Damn right.
A 13-year-old girl being raped. And all those people who were so outraged by racism the other day. I'm not saying that they don't both deserve your outrage, but my God, they both do. And if you don't get upset about both of them, if you don't show the same amount of misery and acrimony and disgust in what's going on with this 13-year-old girl who was raped in Nyanga, and you aren't outside that court protesting in your stupid blue or stupid red or stupid green T-shirt, you don't deserve anyone's respect. You're a posturing piece of shit. All right, let's move on to some sport. It is time to find out what's going on in the sport with Ben. I'm trying to lift the mood. Did you hear that, Ben?
Yeah. Well, Gareth, you make good points, though.
Here it is. Ben's sport for a Friday.
All right. Well, we got so much. I'm glad I got a couple more extra minutes here. So, Alice Scutzia, well, it's a game against Italy, right? Backs to the wall like a pool boy at Elton John's pool party. He doesn't know what to do other than go with what he thinks is his strongest team. So he's gone with everything you could possibly think of. There's no change of fly half. There's no Rowan Jansen van Rensburg here. Mm-hmm. Damien Arnold will be given just another go. I mean, what's another go on top of a whole bunch of other shit performances? Pat Lambie, he looked absolutely limp last week. Well, he'll have another go. The forward pack, well, at least now there's a loose trio that looks like a loose trio. So Nizam Carr comes in at number 6. He'll be running towards the breakdance much quicker than Willem Alberts, who now returns back to his usual position of 7, where he literally just tackles the crap out of people. Then in the locks, well, Lutiaga, he'll have now Peter Steffatoy, who's taken away from the horrible flank experiment. And your front row, pretty much exactly the same. In the replacements, though, Elton Jantjies comes onto the bench, as does Johan Kuss and Fafter Klerk. Those are your backline replacements. So, will Elton get 20 minutes and he'll shine and then he'll basically never used again? Who knows? It's just frustrating. It's just very frustrating. And I've never seen such little interest in the Springboks as I see right now. I even had a poll on my website. It's about next week's game saying, you know, can the Box beat Wales? And the options are no, yes, and I don't care anymore. 51%, the most votes, therefore, I don't care anymore. Yes was 3%. I'm not saying that is society, but it's pretty damn close. In other rugby news, Ireland changed just one for the game against the All Blacks. Sean O'Brien, who's quite an abrasive loose forward, he comes in. And Steve Hansen, All Black coach, is basically saying, well, we're the underdogs for this match, which is just classic shit talk before a match. That's what these guys do. They get so bored of after training. They just have these press conferences where they just throw out cliches. But he's saying, like, the last time we played against Ireland, we lost 40-29. So, of course, we're the underdogs. Mm-hmm. Look, the All Blacks are going to win this game.
Yep. Mostly because they've now have two proper locks.
Is that the
locks
kind
again.
Of thing you would definitely bet on then?
Well, Gareth, this is where I was going with that. The All Blacks are definitely going to win this game. There's no doubt about it. If you bet on that, you get bugger all return. But if you give the Irish about a 20-point handicap, you can like get a 50% return on investment, right?
Sure.
And you tell me anyone in this world right now who thinks the Irish can't put up a good enough fight to lose by less than 20. That is a good bet. That, to me, sounds like a decent way to spend some money this weekend. So it's going to be a great game, hugely intense, tight first half, and like all the other matches, the All Blacks will probably pull away towards the end. So you'll probably say, oh yeah, but they got dicked in Australia, sorry, in America, but yes, it wasn't a full-strength team for the All Blacks because they're missing both their locks. And as much as we all think that fly halves and wings and all that kind of stuff, all the pretty boys win rugby, it's the big grizzly guys who look like only their mother can love them. Those are the guys that win you matches. You get a platform up front, that's how you win.
Yeah, there are a lot of rugby players who you would consider more the sort of people who should go into modelling than rugby sometimes.
Yeah, and they get all the credit. It's like World Player of the Year. Dan Coles was incredible, but Burton Barrett gets it because he looks like something.
Ben, pretty people always get everything in life a lot easier. That's what I've always said, and people get upset with me when I say it, but it's the truth.
It's the truth.
If you're born good-looking, the whole world is better for you, even you, whether you're a rugby player or whether you're a receptionist. True. Life is much easier for you if you're good looking. If you're an ugly, big, burly monster, or you come out looking like Quasimodo, or you got one leg shorter than the other, you got, you know, an ugly balding pattern, forget about it. You could be fantastic at what you do. Nobody cares.
You know, there was a time when Frank Ribery, the footballer, was incredible. The guy's got amazing speed. You know, but he looks like Quasimodo's younger brother.
Yeah,
he really does. Yeah. And obviously, he was obviously with underage prostitutes as well. It doesn't help.
The only time they go gaga for you, the only time they go crazy for you is when you are very good at what you do and you're beautiful.
Yeah.
But if you're really good at what you do and you look terrible, they don't care about you. And if you look terrible, I mean, if you look good, but you're not very good at what you do, then they probably don't notice either. Yeah. But the combo, unstoppable.
You're a
superstar.
Exactly. So on to football then, huh? Now, recently.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to can the Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah, look, it was nice in the beginning.
Couldn't handle it. It got crazy.
Okay, so everyone knows who Theresa May is, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's the Prime Minister of England.
Great Britain.
So she made a speech recently which went like this.
Let me just play it quickly because she's very strident in this clip. I have to clear everything else off my computer to make sure she doesn't get upset.
Being taken by FIFA is utterly
So she's talking about FIFA.
She's talking about FIFA.
There it is.
The stance that's been taken by FIFA is utterly outrageous.
Yeah! Outrageous.
Our football players want to recognise and respect those who have given their lives for our safety and security. I think it is absolutely right that they should be able to do so. I think our footballers, it's for our football associations, but I think a clear message is going from this house. We want our players to be able to wear those poppies. And
It's for poppies. Is it for Poppy Day?
Yes.
It was for November, Poppy Day. It was the 11th of November the other day. That, of course, Armistice Day. And in Britain, it's a big deal if you wear your poppy. Because it shows that you are you're thinking about all those who laid down their lives in World War One mostly, but also World War Two for Britain.
Given their lives within conflict.
For king and country. So it's a big thing in Britain. It would be like, if Barack Obama didn't wear that little lapel pin with the American flag on it, or if you didn't salute the troops, or in South Africa, if you didn't... I don't know, what's the correlation here? Because we have so little respect for everything. What would you say in South Africa would show the same disrespect as not being able to wear a poppy?
I don't know. I mean, what's important to us anymore? Anyway, we get the point. Play the rest of the clip.
All right, so here she
is. I have to say to FIFA that before they start telling us what to do, they jolly well ought to sort their own house out.
Theresa May, very strident about this. They must sort their own house out.
All right.
Here's the other side of the story, right? Because the reason I bring this up today is that FIFA has opened disciplinary proceedings against both England and Scotland because they wore poppies last Friday when they played their World Cup qualifier. So here's the other side of the coin, right? FIFA has a rule. There is no more... Oh, crap, Cody's just gone out.
You're not meant to do that, dude. What are you talking about?
Sorry, cricket. So basically, FIFA has this blanket rule that you can't have anything political, personal, or any other agendas other than you being a footballer, right? So you can't go on there with black armbands because your aunt died, or you can't go there because you feel that you're making a stand towards racism, whatever, because that's not your role. It's noble, all that kind of stuff, but FIFA has a blanket rule saying you can't do that. It's just not to be done. So basically, on the back of Theresa May's sterling words, they thought, well, screw it. We're going to do our own thing. Uh-huh. So who's to blame here? Because if England are allowed to do the poppy, then Israel's going to come out and say, look, we, you know, protesting against this or that. Or Russia's going to come out and say, you know, we've been oppressed by the West and all this kind of stuff. So everyone could have a thing. So if this is allowed, it's always like this, right? It's a slippery slope from there. So you've got to have a rule for one, not for everyone else.
Are you taking FIFA's side?
I'm just taking the side of administration because people have to have rules in life. We've come to realize this because we're a bunch of savages. So you got to think, if FIFA's in charge of football, right, that's their thing. No one can dispute that. But Theresa May and everyone else thinking about their poppies are so important,
mm-hmm.
That's fine, okay? But not every other country is allowed to do something if this is true.
Okay, Ben. I didn't think I'd ever hear the day where you would side with FIFA on something.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just really upset that Kohli's gone out. He had no reason to play a shot as rash as that. So that is the cricket. India, 3-5-1 for 5. Over 100 overs gone now. Mm-hmm. So Kohli's gone for a mammoth score of 167, which is 34 less than he should have scored. So basically what England got to do now is try to wrap up this tail. It's quite long, but yeah, it's a batting wicket up front, which is going to turn hugely after that. So it's all about batting first in this pitch and making good runs. India seem to be on their way for that, but yeah, like I said, quite a long tail. You know, the cricket news, Adam Focas. Voges, he's one of the guys who's going to get dropped for the third test. Well, unfortunately, he got a concussion yesterday by taking a bouncer to the head anyway. So, jeez. Hard times for them.
Shame.
Pakistan, they lost the toss against New Zealand, and a moustache man ripped through them. So, Pakistan were all 133 all out, and New Zealand have rallied back to 70 for 3. Tough to bat in Middle Earth. You know, you watch cricket in New Zealand, there's no stadiums or anything like that. They're playing in this delightful village oval. It's just green. And Hobbit-like. It really is delightful. So that's something you can watch if you have insomnia, because those games will start at midnight. I think we can get into the rest of the fixtures in the second hour, hey, Gareth?
Yeah,
that's pretty much all the big stories. Oh, one more story. Talking about the English footballers, ever since Rooney was pictured pissed out on the pool with his mates, there's now been a curfew put in place, right?
Yeah.
So you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't act like this.
Can't go down at pub.
And then Eddie Jones, English rugby coach, was asked of a similar thing, if his players need curfews, and he said, no, they're adults.
Sure.
Such a lovely contrast between football and rugby. We all know people who play football are mostly common. They're nouveau riche, they don't come from much, and they've been given stupid money.
Correct.
Whereas rugby players generally have from better stock, so to speak. You
well,
know, they
maybe,
have values.
But they've also had their brains smashed in a lot more.
Also, rugby makes you a lot more humble because you know you're not a big deal. In football, everyone vaults you up there. But it just does beg the question that should footballers or any sports people had be told what to do? People say, oh, it sets a bad example. I tell you what, if you're going through life right now and sports stars are your heroes, sports stars are the people you look up to, you should probably have a look at yourself. Sports people play sport. That's all they do. Don't look for examples. I mean, if Wayne Rooney goes out and gets hammered and, I don't know, dry humps a traffic cone, is that going to ruin your life? Are you now going to go, well, you know what, I looked up to him. I don't know where my life's going now because if I can't trust Wayne Rooney, who can I trust?
Listen, it's not just sports people, Ben. If I have a word of advice for anybody, because I often get asked about who my role models are and so on, I say to them, there's nobody. Humans are a very bad role model. All of them. The whole stinking lot. There may be humans who have excelled in certain places, and you're welcome to look up to a certain sports person because they're your ideal of perhaps what an athlete should be,
sure.
Or they're your ideal of what a sportsman should be, or they're your ideal of what a good person might be. But if you roll them all into one kind of package deal of what the perfect human is, I got bad news for you. You're going to be disappointed. And when they let you down one day, you're going to feel like your daddy didn't come home. And then you're going to cry, and it's going to be sad and pathetic, and everyone around you is going to think that you've lost your mind. Don't do it. Choose a whole bunch of role models. Choose people who are really good at certain things. Put them into your life as influences rather than as role models. Your life will be much easier and much happier. Because the minute you invest everything in one person, disappointment is hitting your way,
yep.
Like a steam train,
uh-huh.
And it's going to upset every single aspect of your life. Let's get into Anthea Gardner and the money. Speaking of invest, oh, we got to do a song. Oh, shit, we got to get to a song before we get to Anthea. Flax, you see, you got to keep tabs on me. When Mabale's not here, I don't know what to do. All right, Mubs is on her way in, by the way, if you're wondering where she is. She woke up late this morning. Supernova wants us to talk about the overspending in our government. Well, guess what? Justice Malala is coming in later on. We can do that with him. And a couple other messages that we'll get to in a moment or two. Anthea is next. All right, we don't have time for two songs, right, Flax? So let's get into Anthea Gardner right now with the money shot. It is time to check in on what's happening with your money, if you have any, and if you want some.
Gotcha.
She works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right. She works hard for the money.
All right, here's some guests just while we're getting Anthea on the line. MBK says, these are the guests I'd love in the studio before the end of the year. A.K.A. Refi Refulo or racist Steve Hoffmeyer. Also, a story for Mubs and Ben. Yesterday, I couldn't make my gym morning session, so when things slowed down at the office, I took the opportunity to make up for the missed morning session. I got to gym, changed into gym clothes. Then a tall, grumpy-looking blonde walked into the change room. This guy still looked fresh. No sign of sweat or fatigue, but it looks like he was on his way out. Gareth must explain what he does at the gym if he still looks fresh after a session. What do you think of that, Ben?
Well, two parts to that story. Racist Steve Hoffmeyer is going to be on the Renegade Report, which you can catch with that podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Yeah.
And, well, I've long said to Gareth that he's doing the wrong things at gym. But what do I know? What do I know?
Anthea's on the phone. Okay. Hey, Anthea, how's it?
Hi, Gareth.
Cool. Sorry, I think we had some kind of problem with Skype this morning, so we're on. Okay, you know, I was just looking at the portfolio that I've had for the longest time, and I'm about to swap it over to what we do with Hashtag Invest, but I've noticed that I'm down quite a lot. Are you also down?
Yes, no, all the market. The market generally is much lower this year. I'm not sure what the exact number is year to date. But we've had a rough ride, for sure. You know, and then depending on which shares you're in, of course, after Brexit, like Capital and Counties and Brake never recovered. But I think you sold those, right?
No, I've still got Brake.
Oh, okay. So that's the problem. And also they reported results a couple of days ago, which wasn't great.
Mm.
So definitely some pressure there.
All right.
But yes, you know, that's exactly the problem with having equities, is that when you're wanting to sell, the chances are the market's going to be lower. For the long term, sure, equity holdings generally return much higher yields, but it is volatile.
Yeah, and sometimes the market's up and sometimes it's down, so that's where you take your chances. And that's why, you know, something like the aggressive portfolio that we've put together is for people with a, let's just say, an appetite for risk.
And long-term horizons.
Well. Oh. All right. So talking about the market, is yesterday generally, on the day, how did we look?
It was a good day. I mean, the focus really now seems to be around the macro drivers. We had some good U.S. Start numbers. We had decent U.K. retail sales numbers. Bank of Japan gave the market a little boost. They're now buying five-year bonds. Oil price was a bit lower, but on balance, the markets were good. This was all good for stock markets. Our markets closed about 1.3% higher. Resources, telcos, the two outstanding performers. So, and then even the bond market, you know, our R186, which is the benchmark 10-year bond, fell below 9%. And I'm talking about yield now, not price. And when the yield is lower, the price is higher, mm-hmm. the bond market. and so it fell below 9% for the first time since the Trump victory. And even the Rand was relatively well-behaved yesterday. I mean, it traded in a fairly narrow band, closed around 14.26 to the dollar. So a little bit weaker, but not that huge volatility we've gotten so used to over the last year. And then I've heard the rating agencies are in the country at the moment ahead of their announcement in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, yeah.
And so it kind of felt like the market was putting its best foot forward yesterday. But I opened my Bloomberg on kind of the website today, and their leading story says, junk rating seems inevitable for South Africa this year or next. Kind of spoiled my Friday morning, I must say.
Oh, that would be horrible.
I'm afraid so, yes. There weren't too many stocks that closed in the red yesterday, though. One of them was Life Healthcare, because they announced on Wednesday that they're buying 95% of a UK-based company called Alliance Medical. Mm-hmm. And this company provides molecular and diagnostic imaging services. Life Healthcare are paying $995 million. And it makes sense long-term to build this kind of pound or euro diversified portfolio. And I don't think it's the price that Lifecare are paying for Alliance that got investors worried. I think really investors are being cautious because the last two acquisitions that Life Healthcare did ended up being short-term value detractors and not earnings accretive. And so, and also I guess, Life Healthcare acquiring outside of their core competencies is a bit of a worry. You know, they are really hospital operators. That's what they do.
Right.
And probably another concern is that they have to raise debt. So they're having to raise the ratio from that they're taking debt from Barclays to buy or to pay some of this $995 million.
Okay.
And then another company that's left a fairly bad taste in investors' mouths is Dis-Chem, unfortunately. So they're listing today. They're listing at R18.50 a share. But it's the allocations that everyone's complaining about. So 42% of the shares were allocated to offshore investors, 10% to friends and family, and the balance, which was 10 times oversubscribed. We knew it was going to be huge demand for the stock, right?
Yeah.
So the balance was allocated to only the top institutions, you know, the very big ones, which means that boutique investors or boutique asset managers, hedge funds, and retail clients, like the people who shop there every day, didn't get an allocation. They raised 4.4 billion rand at the IPO, and I imagine today the share will probably rally because I guess if you really want the share, you'll go and buy it in the open market. And so I guess that'll push the price higher today.
All right. Well, good for them.
Yeah, but what about us? The average consumer, you know, we didn't get shares.
We'll have to manage without them. Might end up being a good thing. Who knows?
Who knows? Right, exactly. And then as I said to you, Brace, I've also kind of spent a bit of time trying to quell the market a bit because they also put out a rather disappointing set of results, but the CEO spent a bit of time telling investors that they were going to maintain their JSE listing as they prepared, because you know they're going to list in London. And so he said, unlike kind of other companies that perhaps have listed somewhere else and then delisted from the JSE, they're actually going to keep the dual listing.
Right.
And then in Asia this morning, Japan's trading higher, no surprise, after yesterday's stimulus announcement, as is Hong Kong and Australia. China's about a quarter of a percent lower. I'm not really sure why, though. And then the Rand seems to be much weaker this morning, 14.44 compared to yesterday's 14.26 at the close. And I'm not sure if it's this gosh darn Bloomberg's article, because there's no other kind of concrete reason for the Rand to weaken like this. And so I guess let's wait and see what happens when the market opens properly and has a bit more liquidity. You know, potentially that could strengthen the Rand again. Let's hope so.
All right, Anthea, thanks for the update.
Pleasure. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
You too. Thank you very much. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets. Coming up next, Justice Malala, Burning Platform. CliffCentral.com.